I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Thursday. Good afternoon. Welcome into Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, the Double T 97.3 mobile app, which you can take just about anywhere with you. Listen in even down in Ding Dong, Texas. And also yours on television, Fox 34 News Now, alongside Mike Gustafson. I'm Choice Woodman in for AD today. Clint Scott across the way taking care of us. What up, Gus? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, dude?
I'm good. It's been a while since we've sat down together.
Because the week AD was gone on the cruise. It was me and Clint that whole week.
Yeah. So what's new with this hour of the day, this time of the day?
Well, on Thursdays, it's an oddly specific music theme.
Oddly specific music theme. Okay. Yeah,
and today it's songs about money.
No reason why.
What was that song?
That was Shane McMahon's walkout music.
Okay. I was like, when you tell me there were some money songs coming, I'm like, okay, I can think of a few that we'll probably hear today.
I think it was your boy's idea.
That one. Okay.
I think your boy was taking a shot at you. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It started off with
no reason at all.
Pew, yeah. Pew, pew, pew.
I don't have any money, so
Dickens is suspending his 1 day suspension. They're enjoying his 1 day suspension today, and so he's and so we were kicking this around. Actually, prepped it on Tuesday because we weren't sure if we'd have a show yesterday. We did a 30-minute show,
right?
Post Rangers game earlier, but yeah, it started off with songs that make us think about Dickens. But then when Awesome. You came in.
Okay.
When you were announced, then it was
announced.
Yeah.
So formal.
Clint, Clint subbed in songs about money for you.
Okay.
And so here we are.
Okay.
Clint's got mine. So I assume that'll be the next bumper coming out of the deal there. But yeah, text us your a song about money.
Yeah. Money. All right.
Text it in. Yep.
It's fun.
Astros lose earlier today.
They did.
Yep, close ball game there in Baltimore. They ended up taking 2 of 3. And I think during that broadcast, they said that the Orioles haven't been swept in a home series since 2021. Like, didn't get swept one time yesterday.
Like, 76 consecutive or something, they said.
Holding off a sweep.
Of 2 games or more. And it wasn't just 3 game or more series. It was 2 game or more series where they haven't had a sweep at home. That's a ton.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Orioles.
That was the dregs a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's they're still, in my brain, it's still kind of hard to get them synonymous with winning. So, I wasn't too sad about the Astros losing today. So
yeah, for the Astros, it's a pretty hard-earned series win up there. And they return home, and these are sort of tied together with the Rangers. They return home for a 3-gamer in Houston against the Angels, and then the Angels will go from Houston to Arlington. So Angels about to make a little Texas sweep. I think the Astros are going to miss Ohtani on the mound, which means the Rangers will get him.
We'll get him, of course.
Yep. I guess probably Monday or Tuesday, but yeah, it's a... I guess with their loss today, maybe the Astros are 2.5
two
games
and a half
back.
Is
yeah,
correct.
Of course the Rangers don't play today, so that'll. Yeah, the Rangers are enjoying a day off in the Bay Area. That'll be a big scene tomorrow night with Bochy there.
They didn't do so well when they went out to San Diego, one of Bochy's old spots.
True.
Hopefully, they'll do a little better in San Francisco.
And the Giants aren't bad. They're in wild card contention. I think 10 games over 500, so it's not going to be the cupcake was the first 3 games of this road trip in Oakland.
Yeah,
that was the
blew one of them.
Yeah.
Good start from Montgomery, blew it. So we'll get into a few different things today. We'll, of course, talk Texas Tech football as we look ahead to a season that is creeping closer.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
I guess is it slow to you, like getting there?
It feels like it.
I feel like once we turn to August, it's gotten really slow.
I think it always does this.
Oh, man.
Just because you go through the anticipation of it, and then when it finally starts, you want it to be. It's like when I drive home from St. Louis, you know, and we get to Amarillo and go, oh, yeah, we're here. Oh. And then you're like, oh, no, you got two more hours. You know, it's like, golly.
It's right there.
Yeah, that's so where this close. Is now, because we're getting daily news.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff in the paper and audio and just all the things.
Oh, yeah.
And the minute you're like, yeah, it's the game's still like 4 weeks away, fellas. They just put the pads on yesterday, you know. I mean, you know, it's tap the brakes.
We are 3 weeks and a day.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. No, three weeks and 2 days.
Yeah,
there we go.
3 weeks and
we're not playing on Friday.
So. Yeah, 3 weeks from tomorrow they'll be getting on the plane and headed to Laramie.
Actually, three weeks from today.
Are they going a day early?
They're leaving Thursday because of the acclimation.
Elevation.
Yep.
Yeah,
elevation, nice. Acclimation.
Yeah.
So, got some updated Big 12 betting odds. We'll get into those a little bit later for the conference as a whole. Some lines on a few early games, including the Oregon-Texas Tech game. We've seen the Wyoming line go through that. The latest in the mess in the ACC has, I guess that's where AD really is today. He's having a rest from all his dancing on the grave of the Pac-12, because he's been doing a lot of dancing.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of talk about that. Of course, it was the talk this time last week, or I guess last Friday for sure. But and the stuff that's been, oh, I don't know, sort of trickling this week is ACC stuff, and that seems to have been triggered, I guess, by Florida State and, you know, their conversations about expansion and, you know, expansion all the way out to Stanford and Cal.
I mean,
my goodness.
Have you ever made anything of that since it started? Because it doesn't.
I mean, it just.
There's no way that stuff happens with just those two schools, right?
No, surely not. And, like, of course, SMU's part of this conversation, but it's just. And, you know, and it's hard to. It really needs to be one of those things that you back away from it and look at it as more of like a. Consider the progress through the week rather than getting tied up into, oh, on Thursday the news was a little pessimistic, on Wednesday it was a little off, you know, kind of ride the roller coaster. It's like, hey, probably be smarter to step away from it a little bit and just, you know, not that there's not anything going on, but just to step away from it and not pretend like the future of all conferences at all points are hanging on a phone call, because it's probably a little, I don't think the situation there is that dire yet.
Yeah, I don't think you're anywhere close to that yet with the ACC, but I mean it's as dire as it gets when it comes to those teams out west and what they're going to end up doing. So we'll get into that. Some news on Phil Mickelson today that apparently he's been a bad boy, lots of gambling in his past, and the book that's coming out revealing quite a bit, including an attempt on gambling on a Ryder Cup event that he was in. So,
wow.
Yeah, lots of not great. Plenty of song requests coming in. Keep those coming for Clint. I'll get you some headlines with the juice. Coming up next, it is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders' favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the juice. Part of Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Choice Woodman in for AD today. Mike Gustafson in his normal spot. Some pretty fresh news here. Texas Tech has announced another sellout. Announced the sellout of Oregon last week. Now announcing the sellout of Houston game coming up What is the date of that game?
It's the 30th.
Thank you. September 30th.
Last weekend of September.
So the second sellout already of the season. That will be the Big 12 home opener for Texas Tech. So you got the Oregon game and the Houston game. Not too shabby.
No, and of course we don't know, because that is a conference game this year. We don't know the time for kickoff for that one yet.
Correct. So, we've got the first three of the season in place, but we don't know when that one will go down. Texas Tech, of course, has already sold out of its season ticket allotment, and now this is two regular season games that are sellouts. And it kind of does get contagious on this stuff. So for people that aren't season ticket holders, and then you didn't get them in time or whatever, now it's like, okay, well, if we're going to get to a game, now we got two sold out, so then you start seeing more tickets go for other games. And
yep.
And it wouldn't surprise me if you see another sellout before too terribly long for maybe the TCU game or the K-State game.
K-State's homecoming.
Yeah, yep. No doubt. So Joey McGuire's selling tickets.
Anticipation.
There is as much as we've seen here in Lubbock in a really long time. Other news for you. You missed it a little bit earlier. Houston Astros fall short to the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore 5-4 as they were unable to complete the series sweep. Houston still won the series with first two in that one. They are 2.5 games back now of the idle Texas Rangers, as the Rangers were off today following their 2-0 loss to the A's yesterday. Texas Tech, let's see, what else have we not got in? If you missed it yesterday, Hannah Anderson named all Big 12 for Texas Tech soccer. They will play tomorrow in their exhibition matchup with Denver in Denver. They do that every year up there. Taj Brooks was named to the Doak Walker Award watch list yesterday as well. And today we got the Big 12 soccer preseason poll, and Texas Tech tabbed as the 5th team out of 14. It's still weird to see on paper.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is like looking at these polls, and there's 14 of them now. It's only going to get more weird next year with 16.
Yeah, and subbing out a few more,
yeah.
Subbing in a few more. Yeah, no doubt.
You're going to have as many newcomers as incumbents next year, 8-8. So,
yeah, that's
it's going to be kind of strange.
Yeah, it really will.
And if you go back to the original Big 12, you'll have, what, 6 left?
Yeah, the Big 12.
Oh, no, because Colorado's back.
So yeah, that's true.
To 6 that have been there the whole time, and then if you want to count Colorado from the original Big 12, then there will be 7.
The 2 Oklahomas, the 2 Kansases, Iowa State, Colorado.
You don't get to count Oklahoma next year.
No, that's right. Duh. So. Yep, you're right. Baylor, yep.
And Baylor. And, of course, Tech. You, too, can join us. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of it welcome in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that TT97.3 mobile app. PJ says, there's way too many tickets left for the K-State and TCU games. Those are huge games, very possible. Both Tech and K-State could be undefeated for that game. That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
They'll sell.
And homecoming's usually a bit of a draw for some fans that are away.
Sure.
You know, the DFW and just folks that'll sort of set that one as a matchup to come into, regardless of the fact that it's should be a fairly anticipated game,
yeah,
based on what's on the field. But just a lot of folks come back for the festivities, and I don't know, but I would think that homecoming in the centennial year might have something special attached to it, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the year of the centennial celebration, so.
Sam asks, what's Clint's response to Chuck's Kansas on Kansas crime yesterday morning? Did you ever get a chance to respond?
I did. I burned a whole segment on it. Basically, it just had a friendly reminder to the alumni T-shirt fan kind of looking down on. I would remind him from a Kansas football standpoint who's actually paid attention the past 20 years. who's actually watched. And also that I did, in fact, know that, jokes aside, that Kansas does play baseball as well.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, shocker there, right?
Wow.
No, don't say shocker. Well, you'll get Chuck down.
Right. I would. I would.
Shocker.
You'll get him coming down that hallway, crashing through the door. You mentioning the word shocker.
Couple of...
Because you meant it with a small S. He sees capital S when he hears that word. Your neighbor's there to the southwest.
Yeah. He's not a fan. He's got a lot more anger towards... What does he call him? Doodah State?
He calls him Doodah, yeah. I don't even think he says Doodah State. I think he's just Doodah. No, Doodah. Is that them? What does he call K-State? I thought Doodah was K-State.
I thought that was Wichita State.
He's got nicknames for all of them.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
He doesn't like the old Woo Shock. I know that.
And he's still stinging from, what, 1981 postseason Jayhawk loss to the Shockers, isn't that right? And Hoops? Something like that.
Something like that.
I mean, this has roots. I mean, it's something he's...
And it's happened since then, too.
He hadn't gotten over that. About a decade ago. Yeah.
A couple of baseball questions on the chat line for Gus.
I'm here.
Dr. Mike, why does the MLB pitch count take pitchers that are pitching well out of games?
Well, that's not a...
It's not like Little League where it's required.
Or even high school.
High
now.
School, yeah. Yeah.
No, and I think the when you see that, it's less of a it's less tethered to pitch count and more tethered to the fourth time through, certainly the third time through, even the fourth time through the lineup. The hitters get a lot better against those guys, and then that's the thing that we don't think about or sort of gloss over. It was true with Nolan Ryan. It was true with Bob Gibson. It was true with all those dudes. But back then, those dudes were all just you were going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, closers really didn't get into the game back then. That they didn't really build teams around bullpens and stuff. They built it around an ace, and so they were like, "Hey, Bob, or fill in the blank, Gaylord, Fergie, whoever.
It's your game.
Yeah, it's your game. Go get them." And for the most part, they did, but. It's like the Cardinals had a game the other day where they took in the eighth inning Michaelis at 80 pitches, took him out because it was fourth time through the lineup, and it backfired on him, and so he got skewered for it. But famously, it happened a few years ago with Tampa in the World Series. They took Snell out, and the roof fell in. I think it was the Dodgers that beat him that year.
Gus, can you give us an update on the tech guys and the minors that are close to getting to the show?
Monteverdi got called up to AAA, and then he got shelled in one of his – I don't think it was his first start, but he got hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so – but he's had a really good year, really good in AA and pitched in the Futures game. And there have been a couple of promotions that I have failed to report on here, but Drew Baker called up to AA this week, and
Birdsill.
Yeah, I think I talked about that last week. Birdie got called up to AA in the Cubs organization, and
Caleb Freeman.
Freeman, and Freeman was coming off an injury. He's back to – he's in Charlotte now, right?
Which is AAA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is where, Davis Martin spent a lot of time going back and forth between Charlotte and Chicago last year. Of course, Tommy John surgery and out for the year. His wife's about to have a baby, and they're in Phoenix right now near the White Sox complex and rehabbing, so – wishing him the best,
and
of course.
Killian is up for the Cubs, where he's
in the big leagues.
And
right now.
They said it sounded like they're planning on keeping him up pretty well the season to try to let him go and see what he's got at the big league level for a little while and trying to stay consistent there.
Yep, and he threw a scoreless inning on Monday, I think, at New York, and the Mets smoked him that game, but he threw a scoreless inning. Late in that ball game, pitching out of the bullpen, and Mashinsky threw well, but he's kind of up and down. He's got options, and so every time they need a fresh something, it's Parker back to Sugar Land that he threw well.
It's Tech Talk on Double T973.
The podcast. podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Glad to be part of your Thursday. It is the bottom. What's wrong? Tech Talk.
Yep,
Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Mess up, but not even mess up with your own show, and you messed up with my show.
Because I get, you know, I get tossed around like a rag doll on what shows
okay,
I go
yeah,
on. So
yeah,
being the utility
so rough
man,
for
so.
You here around Raymar.
Just kidding. We have so many shows.
Hey, cleaning it up from the last segment, Parker Kelly called up to High A. He's now playing in Spokane. He was in Fresno.
There you go.
He's played one game in High A. He went 2-for-5 with a triple.
Not too shabby.
Yep.
I like it.
What was the other thing we were cleaning up through the break there?
I'd already forgotten.
No,
that's why I write things down.
No, that's why I carry this notebook around me. I got a 6-for-9 on the Immaculate Grid, if you're following my progress.
6-for-9?
I went 8, 9, 7, 6 this week.
Boy, yeah. Falling apart down the stretch.
Wow. Yeah. And I was clean.
Was it tough today?
I thought so. A lot of rock. It was Rockies, Mariners.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I fought that. I was clean. Like, I was able to just go boom, 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 you know, get to my first six, like, answer the ones that I know, you know. And then actually, I was clean through 5, and then my 6th, in hindsight, would have worked for a couple of different options. And then, I just took 3 stabs at it. And so, yeah, kind of, though I've said, I'm kind of a, if I did the metrics on it, I probably averaged somewhere between a 6 and 7, if I had to guess. So,
I saw this, speaking of baseball.
Yep.
This was a pretty neat little chart I saw. It's got every team in Major League Baseball. And it's got a few stats here comparing last year to this year. So it shows each statistical category, which are win percentage, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, and then 3. So there's 3 of the offensive there, and then 3 pitching, ERA, FIP, what does FIP stand for?
Fielding independent.
Fielding, okay, there we go. And then whip.
Okay.
It compares each team with what they did last year. There is only one team in all of Major League Baseball that has improved in each of those 7 categories.
Oh, wow.
Any guesstimation of who it could be? There's a lot that have improved in several, or there's some that are terrible comparative to last year.
I could. It's a fielding percentage. Yeah. What'd you say? Batting average, OPS. What was it?
Batting average, just regular on base. Slugging, ERA, FIP, WHIP, and win percentage.
That could very well be the Texas Rangers.
It is the Texas Rangers.
Wow.
The Rangers have improved in every single category from a season ago. They're the only team in Major League Baseball to do so. There's 5 teams that are worse in every category than last year.
My St. Louis Cardinals could be one of those.
St. Louis isn't. They've actually improved in all the offensive categories, but worse in all the defense and pitching. It's the White Sox, the Guardians.
Really?
Milwaukee, Mets, and Yankees are worse in all of those categories.
Wow. Which, a lot of that can have to do with a team being pretty good last year. Milwaukee's a playoff team.
Sure.
Yeah, this year, as it stands right now, so it's not all bad, but it's the conversation is relative year over year. Right. Yeah, that's good. It's good. I mean, it's reflective of the Rangers chasing the standings for sure. Relative to what coming off of, because they're like the Orioles. They're coming off of. I mean, they didn't maybe bottom out as bad as the Orioles did for as long, but what, 6 losing seasons?
6 losing seasons.
That's a 6-year losing streak, Clint.
Bottom out, horse name.
Clint didn't get my drop that I asked for yesterday, my hotkey drop.
Oh,
right?
Oh, man, Clint.
I have very few complaints with Clint. Dickens and him, that's a whole thing there. I've got my first complaint right there.
My bestie, Clint Scott.
That's right.
So with...
give me a segment.
That's fine.
With the Rangers...
you took yesterday off because we only had a two-segment show.
I mean, you've had top five picks in the draft in what, two or three out of the last mm-hmm. 5 years. So, I mean, it's bottomed
out. It's time. Yeah.
It's not quite as bad as the Orioles. What's the credit this much success? Because it's a pretty monumental leap. Is the Bruce Bochy factor that much?
I'm sure. Yeah, and it's funny because I've thought about it this year that a lot of Rangers fans spent a lot of time dumping on John Daniels. Like, John Daniels had a lot to do with putting this roster together.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's kind of funny. Chris Young's gotten a lot of the credit.
No, that's exactly.
I mean, he's kind of the face now.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's getting the credit for it, but
and he'll get credit for Bochy too. So that may be the end of this conversation. But it's like for you know the rebuild, and all of it fell on Daniels. The good from 2010 and 2011, then the bottom dropping out for as long as it did. Getting Seager and Semien back, drafting Josh, you know. So well, I mean, it's hard not to, you know, when a guy like Bochy comes in, and a lot of things are in place. Josh is ready for the big league. Semien and Seager have both played their year, you know, in the free agency transition, and Semien struggled last year. Lowe is emerging. Heim is emerging. You know, in a way that, and to be clear, if that thing was at the bottom, Bochy's probably not putting down his fishing pole there in Nashville and
I'm
coming back.
Not. No.
I mean, really not. Like he looked at that roster and went, how old is he? 70? Isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's not coming out of retirement for a rebuild.
No. But it still was a team that wasn't good last year.
You're right.
So
you're right.
He's taking a team that finished. Went fourth worst in the league last year in Major League Baseball, and it's a pretty darn good turnaround for what we've seen. And
think about what we thought would impact this roster. DeGrom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a big chunk is deserved for owners spending money this mm-hmm. time because they've sat on the checkbooks for almost 10 years. I mean, and not spent hardly anything. So you've got to give credit there.
Sure.
But you did have your two middle infielders and spent a lot of money on them last year. And it just feels like everything's come together at the right time. Pitching that you weren't expecting, you're getting that. But development of the young guys like Lowe, like Josh Young, like
Dunning
yeah. like who else did you say just a little bit ago? Of the young guys.
Well, I was going to say I might have guessed that I might have guessed that we would have some impact on this roster from the Vandy boys, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd have told me this, hey, they're going to be really good this year back in, you know, March or April, I would have gone, ooh, maybe one of those guys is in the big leagues or playing a role out of the pen or whatever.
Yeah.
One of them's on the shelf for the year and the other one's been getting knocked around in Double A. And so, you know, that's – and Martin Perez hadn't been great. That's the other part.
He was great for you last year,
right? And so it's one of those things. If we just sat down in March and said, okay, Martin Perez is going to do this, DeGrom's going to throw six games, you know, like start reeling off this stuff and go, oh crap, this is going to be a disaster. But you know, Dunning has emerged. Jonathan Gray's been pretty good start. Now I know he's scuffled a little bit here recently, but still. An anchor to the staff.
Yep. Haney has been really good, mm-hmm. especially as of late.
And those are probably the two guys that you think about, Gray and Haney, and like they weren't light up the sky free agent signings, but stabilizers and innings guys and all that. And you know, Will Smith's been pretty good closing. They go get Aroldis.
You know what, with Bochy, I mean, you've got a common denominator from your good years a decade ago in Maddux.
Yep, true.
And that's one thing where your pitching staff, you got a lot out of that pitching staff mm-hmm. in 10 and 11 and and a little bit around that, and you're getting a lot out of him this year. Yep. So,
and he resides in DFW and was sort of ready to kind of be off the road a little bit and lands in a spot like this, coaching at home with a guy, with an old veteran, and a really good situation.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll talk some Tech football. Get back to some of your thoughts next. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is a oddly, what are we calling it?
Oddly specific.
Specific. I was going to say obscure, but that wouldn't.
That's all right. Probably.
Oddly fit. Obscure and specific.
I think I threw you off. I think that might have said the word obscure earlier.
You actually may have in the text.
I'll take that. That's
so, specific songs, if you haven't picked up on the theme, money songs. Mm-hmm. Songs about money today. Is this dude wearing capris?
Yeah, it looks like it. I don't know if maybe he had to crawl under the something. But yeah, I noticed that earlier.
Kim.
Yep. He's tied for first, so all the way just hit one in. He just hit an old lady in a chair over there.
That's not nice to do. In the FedEx St. Jude. Oh, okay.
There we go.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Well, no, I don't. I really think he's wearing.
Yeah, I thought
capris.
Maybe he was. Yeah, I thought maybe he was feeling the remnants of some barefoot golfing earlier.
But that is.
In the water. But
that's strange. Yeah. You ever fallen in?
No. I usually don't play, though, so that'd be hard for me to fall in unless drove by the course. I like honking over there at Lake Ridge.
Nice.
When they're driving on that hole that runs parallel to slide.
Yeah. Get them right in the backswing?
Maybe. Okay, yeah, I just honk good. And it's like, hey, like an old friend. Hey, man.
What's happening?
Hey, is that Clint? Hey.
Clint, they won't let him on at Lake Ridge. I'm pretty certain of that. There's certain rules. What that those people uphold. If you got any money songs.
About money, text them in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Read some of them.
Several people have the one you just heard, Moneymaker by Luda.
Solid.
Someone's texted Hood Rich by Big Timers. Eddie Rabbit's $2 in a Jukebox. I don't think I've ever heard that one. Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
Yeah, nice.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Multiple people have gone with that one. Electric Bill by Jason Boland and the Stragglers. We've already played that one. It's a good one. Yours was...
Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
There you go. I went with Gold Digger.
Yep.
By Kanye.
Hey, one nugget. And this, forgive me if everybody knew this but me, but Don Williams tweeted this earlier, so credit to Don.
Mm-hmm.
Don and I have been friends for a long time, but he tweeted this. He... Texas Tech official capacity in 2023, 56,200.
Yeah. I was actually wondering.
Right.
I had not seen that.
Yeah, yet. AD and I had kicked it around too. And I remember Kirby saying something last year when the construction was announced and, you know, somewhere in the coverage that followed that, I think maybe Don, maybe it wasn't Don in this case, but that the question had been asked about, are we going to stay at 60,000? Not for this year, because this was a construction
overall,
year, a different deal. But when the construction is complete next year, and I think the talking point was they're going to do everything in their power to keep that, 60,001 seats,
capacity.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And I think Don did ask, and it might have been in the same context as the information that he was just tweeted earlier. But that about capacity for next year, and some of that I think, and I think the question might have been asked of Geo, and it might have been, and I think it has to do with them getting square footages and all that stuff sort of finalized and capacities calculated, because they're talking about more of a social space than actual seating.
Right.
I don't know how they, whatever math they use to determine capacity for a stadium club.
Right.
It's not really tied to a bunch of seats in there, but we can let 1,500 people in there, 4,000 people in there, 500 people, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
So it's yet to be determined what it will be in 2024 and beyond, But, you know, the talking point is that it is going to stay at 60,000 plus.
After this year.
Right, so, after this year. So this year's capacity, 56,200.
That's rather interesting, because that's a big chunk. I mean, it's not a huge percentage of your stadium, but it's significant. And it's not like you can do anything about it either way. You can't just set up bleachers down there and let students be field level or anything like that. Because we've seen what happens to bleachers when you let students have bleachers, they end up down, passed down. Yeah. It's been a while since that happened. Oh, I guess they bolt them down better than they used to.
08, maybe. I associate it with sort of peak Crabtree.
I think it happened a little before that, too.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Because I remember some years where it opened my eyes, because I was like a 14 or 15 year old kid, and I'm like, look at what they're doing. They just keep passing down. Right. The bleachers.
They were all standing.
Yeah. And those, just jumping up and down. And they
cracked
just
or broke or whatever.
And then they pass them down.
Just lift them up and pass them down and drop them on the field. Like those old welds from when that stuff was put in, who knows when, in the 70s. Those old welds were getting taxed by however many, 30, 40 kids on a row.
Probably. Or more, because they're squeezing everybody in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great problem to have.
Yeah, I feel like, man, there's a lot of I don't know if you call it pressure for this season, but there is kind of a lot of pressure to be the best atmosphere that you've had maybe since those days, because it just feels like you've got so much buildup, and it's not just local, it's not even just regional. You're starting to get the national stuff. We see Brett McMurphy puts out his AP poll yesterday, his AP ballot, where he's got Texas Tech at number 11. Yeah. And
coach's poll at number 24.
Coach's poll, you're already in at 24, so you know you're ranked in the preseason. AP, you may be even a little higher than you were in the coach's poll. There's people riding the Joey McGuire train nationally, and you just haven't had this kind of preseason hype since 2008, really. I mean, maybe 09, you can say that, coming off the 08 season. But you just haven't had that kind of hype and hope around the fan base. So this buzz is palpable, but it almost feels like you got to back it up. To continue the trend, to continue the trajectory you're on, because it feels like you're pointed sky high right now. But I've said this on another show, anything short of 8 wins without knowing the details feels a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, it's an easy year for you. You compared this to 08, 09.
Yeah.
And the difference between here and 09, it does feel more like 08, which is setting the bar really high, which would be awesome. But the difference between 08 and 09 is in 09 we knew – you're replacing your best receiver, you're replacing a veteran quarterback. You know, there was some, you know, 09 feels more like next year should feel, where you feel good about the players, but it's just a lot of new faces. Whereas this year, you got seven. So I think the number is 7 dudes that opted into being on this Texas Tech roster as defensive starters. You know, we've had such an offensive identity for so long. It wasn't uncommon to get good news on the offensive side of the ball.
Sure.
But now this good news, if you will, is coming on the defensive side of the ball, and it's an older group. You got both coordinators back, you got second year head coach, you know, construction down there, which doesn't mean anything once the whistle blows, but just in terms of the vibe and everyone feeling good about it, a very likable coach and all, it's just it's palpable what you're saying. We're able to sit here through the summer and watch big construction. Not like, hey, they painted the press box. No, like,
right.
Nearly unmatched or unprecedented, I guess, around here, level of construction that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't had
over
this
the
kind
last
of
20 years. Yeah.
You've had, 3 major construction projects go on in the last 20-30 years. It's your press box side initially, then you go
west
to the
side, east side,
east side, and now this,
and then south end was a smaller project.
Yeah, it was smaller, but I mean, I guess that was a project now, but But this is going to be pretty interesting to see what ends up, what the stadium is like during those games, if there's any noticeable difference.
I agree. I mean, we'll have a little bit different location for the band. I think Mark Fewen told us that's going to be down there in the southeast corner.
Right.
At the base of the student section, like it used to be in for this year at least. And, so we're... Yeah, there were some interesting nuggets out of his. He was on with Thetford Nashby last week talking about that. That was some little bit of development as far as the stadium goes.
More Tech Talk next on Double T97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Glad to be with you on a Thursday. On to hour number two. It is Tech Talk on Double T97.3, DoubleT97.3.com, the Double T97.3 mobile app. You can take all over the world with you, even up in Booger Hole, West Virginia, if you want to listen in there. Also on television.
Booger Hole.
Television yours as well, Fox 34 News. Now, alongside Mike Gustafson, I'm Choice Woodman, in for AD today. Clint Scott across the way handling us as usual. You can keep hitting us up. Many of you have on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll catch up on some of that here in a moment. Also has some Big 12 odds for you. The latest odds winning the conference, national championship odds, those sorts of things. College football playoff odds.
Speaking of odds and gambling.
Oh?
Current and former Iowa football players.
Uh-oh.
Implicated, and you know, we start reading off these names, probably don't mean a whole lot to us.
So we know the Deckers one,
right?
And
starting quarterback at Iowa State,
right? Oh, so we're going Hang Iowa on. Here.
Yeah, this one's Iowa, but there's a Big 12 connection here. Former Hawkeye Arland Bruce IV, now at Oklahoma State.
Ooh,
and yeah, receiver. And so you think about, and he bet on 11 Iowa games in which he played. He played, like, he wasn't just
11 that he played in.
Yeah. And Iowa State, and that tweet from Jacob Unruh.
Okay, and
then,
so.
And then Iowa State lost or the latest to be charged in their side of this is a starting running back. Goodness gracious. What a great year to not have either one of those two on the schedule.
Iowa State?
That one's Iowa State.
Oh,
so two
goodness.
More names being added today.
What was the running back's name?
Jarrell Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was their starter last year. Wow.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I don't think any nothing's been announced on these dudes yet, but I think they're the next to be charged. And so it's, you know.
Do we have too big of a gambling problem in sports right now? Oof. I mean, because the Phil Mickelson thing came out today, and I mean, we won't spend a lot of time on it, but he basically – there's a book coming out on Phil. We've known about this for a little bit. But within this book, Phil has bet over $1 billion.
God.
In his
billion
time. Over a billion. There was a day where he bet on 43. Moses. He placed 43 Major League Baseball bets at one day.
God.
He has lost over $100 million. So net. Out of that billion, it sounds like he's lost $100 million.
And so when you say a billion, it's more like he's churned a billion.
He's gambled a billion, and out of that, he's lost $100
million. There you go.
Not saying he's lost a billion.
Right. Yep.
But still, I mean, that's a lot of money over time to rack up. And then there was an attempt, is what it says, to bet on the Ryder Cup that he was participating in. So that's no different than these players betting on games that they're in. I am curious, because the biggest no-no in all of it is if you're gambling and you bet against yourself.
That's the
biggest no-no. So does this Iowa guy that bet 11 times on his team, was it all that their team was going to win every time? Is that – and we don't have the details on that right now.
And you think about Pete Rose, his deal, a little bit different when Pete Rose was betting on his own team that he managed. He didn't bet on them every day.
Right.
And so the big part of this was, hey, what's going on the days that Pete doesn't bet on his team?
Right.
You know, like he knew.
Right.
Yeah. Woodman's throwing that day and his elbow's killing him or whatever. It's akin to the Alabama baseball thing where the dude's up there, your Friday night guy's not pitching today. Ridiculously stupid. But yeah, in one breath you asked me that question, and in the other breath, this time yesterday, we report that ESPN is going in on gambling, with ESPN Bet, I believe is what it's going to be called. And the interesting thing about that is, I mean, think about who some of their biggest sponsors are, FanDuel or whatever.
For sure.
The big two. They're going, hey, we don't want your money. Thanks for all the sponsorship over the year. We're going back to, McDonald's and Budweiser and whatever, Ford Motors or whatever all that is. And because we're going to do this.
We're going to compete with you.
Yeah, we're going to do this ourselves. So we're trying to create our own revenue stream here, and in so doing, turning away two big sponsors.
This stuff is crazy because there's so much money in gambling.
Yes.
So the companies, the ESPNs of the world, you can't resist there. Mm-hmm. Yet we're telling the kids,
right?
There's rules. And there's rules everywhere. If you sign up to be a college athlete, you know there are rules.
Sure.
You have to follow them. You may not like them, but it's a pretty straightforward and simple one. You can't gamble on athletics.
A big one. Yep.
If you are a college athlete, but so many have had the trouble. So the question is, has this always gone on just with bookies?
I know.
Or
crazy.
Is it just, hey,
or is it
so accessible on the phone?
That's what it feels like to me.
Now that, because it's not even nationwide. I think there's around 20 states that are full on when it comes to sports betting, or at least mobile sports betting.
Right.
I think that's what it is.
And legal sports betting, you're saying, not just with your.
But I mean, like the bookie is still the safest route nowadays because it's not really traceable.
Is it like weed being legalized for the dispensary versus?
I guess so. Yeah, still, I can get the better stuff from my guy.
The guy I know.
This guy on the street.
I got you. Oh, I know. It has that same sort of feel to it. Like
it does.
The path, it's never been okay for the athletes, as you're saying, and coaches and support staff to bet on that stuff. This isn't about these dudes getting in a little fantasy baseball thing or an NFL fantasy thing or a little March Madness bracket thing. I mean, these dudes betting on the sport they're playing in.
Right. This is a lot different.
Yeah. And Ridley, it's hitting the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And it could, there could be more to this, but the part of the accessibility and the telephone, like you said, or the ability to knock out a bet is the dude that thinks, I'm going to post this under Schmidt Pot. And instead of my real name, Clint Scott, and nobody's going to know this. And they're like, the dude that they implicated last week was like, yeah, hey, we got your name.
Yeah.
You were doing it under your mom's name or whatever it was. How did you catch me?
I was using Clonk.
Oh, Clonk Schmott. Yeah, that's it. It's serious biz. And it's especially in the context now of as we move forward, and this stuff happened last year and NIL wasn't getting going. So as you move forward, it's like, fellas, there's NIL money involved here. You don't need to be gambling, $100 on all these games.
Yeah.
And you're seeing people lose every opportunity to play the games that they love from now on. So it's like not worth it.
No doubt.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.